friends. Long time no hear. Thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, in studio, I don't go anywhere without him. Keep him in my pocket when I take off on any little trip, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, folks? I hope everyone out there had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. It feels good to be back in Skeleton Studios. I just got back from the Texas coast where we did more fishing. And once again, Caleb was the big fisherman. He's got a knack for it. I guess some people are just lucky. But every time we go fishing down there, he seems to always land the largest fish. And it's totally ruined him because he no longer likes freshwater fishing.
Yeah, it's done.
He likes the saltwater, which I can't blame him. I mean, the saltwater is better. Luckily, we live close enough. It's about 4.5 hours.
Yeah, it's not bad.
To the sea from here where we live currently and where Skeleton Studios is. And so we go down there. We were just down there in October. We had such a good time. You know, this time of year, I asked the boys, you guys want to go snowboarding? Or would you rather go back down to the coast and do some fishing? And it was overwhelmingly they wanted to go fishing. So I'm like, I'm down.
You're like, you're always down for fishing.
Yeah, I mean, the water was so cold, you couldn't really swim in it.
Which is fine with me.
Fine for you.
Right.
And we want to go, and we went fishing and had fun. Now, I didn't see any sharks. I saw a lot of dolphins. We caught some sheep's head. We caught in some more bull reds. I saw some starfish. I saw a lot of crabs. I saw some pelicans. Pelicans
you got those down there one time, didn't you? Whenever we were out of college.
Yeah. Actually, some pelicans stole some of my fillets. I was sitting there filleting the sheep's
head. Your fillets?
My fillets. I had them laid out, and I bent down to pick something up out of a bucket, and a pelican swooped by and grabbed up two of them. I was like, son of a gun. They're smart, though, because when they see the boat come back into port,
here they come.
Here they come. They know it's time. You know, I imagine all the guys there throw the scraps to them.
Yeah.
And they were actually fighting. I've never seen a pelican fight before, but I saw one this last weekend. So you always see something new.
Something crazy down there.
Yeah, and then Christmas went good. I probably spent too much on the kids. I spent way too much on my wife. It always happens. But yeah, man, it was a good Christmas. This was the first time where I didn't have to spend hours and hours doing assembly. Like normally, you know, for New Year's Eve, we'll go to my mother's or we'll go to my aunt's house. And then about 10 o'clock, we're usually at home. And then after that, the kids go to bed. Got to get to bed or Santa won't come. You know?
Mean Christmas Eve, not New Year's Eve.
Oh, is that what I said?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, of course. And then sometimes I'm up into the wee hours assembling things. Like one time, I remember the twins got like a, it was like a Lego set, but I don't remember what it was. Like Ninjago or something. I don't know. It was this giant samurai guy. And it was like 800 pieces. Well, I was like, well, I'll just build that in the middle of the night. No, no, you're not. About 35 minutes in, I'm like, this is going to take all night.
You're like, negative, negative.
But I didn't have to do that this year, so it was pretty good. And then New Year's, I can totally see my age. We were leaving the next day for the coast, so we did nothing. Like, I had to struggle to stay up to watch the ball fall. But so about 12:30, I was in bed. I had I had some, like, sparkling grape juice with the kids.
Went crazy, huh?
I'll tell you, honestly, before I was watching YouTube, and what was I watching? I forgot. Oh, I know what it was.
Tool restoration.
It was a restoration of a vice.
I knew it.
Like an old Swiss vice somebody found in a field, you know, like from like the 1930s. Yeah, I know. You're like, what?
No, I do it too. I get caught up on the tool restoration.
How interesting it is. I watched a guy on a lathe mill all the missing parts, and next thing you know, it's totally restored. It was one of those deals, and like 11:30, my wife's like, well, you know, it's almost midnight. And I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot.
You were renewing your AARP car.
As I was doing that. How was your Christmas, Brett?
It was good, man. We had a really, really good time. Had, you know, the fam went over and hung out with the fam on my wife's side of the family and all that stuff. And then Christmas Day, of course, we had some bunch come to our house. And then, so we had a really good time. I mean, it was, we went to the movies. We were going to go Christmas Day and it was sold out. And I can't remember what day we went. New Year's. It was New Year's Day, I guess it was. We went and saw Holmes and Watson. Went and checked that out. So we went to the movies and all that stuff. I harvested my first deer with a traditional bow.
Yeah, for those who don't know what that means, go ahead and fill them in.
The traditional bow, it being a recurve or a long bow, which is when most people think of a bow and arrow. It's not like the wheeled bow, like a compound bow. It is just a bent piece of wood. And of course, the difference between a recurve and a long bow means the string touches the limbs on a recurve. They don't on a long bow. It just goes tip to tip. I actually shoot a longbow, so I harvested a deer this year with my longbow, and I've compound bow hunted since I've shot one since I was child, 3 years old, but I've been bow hunting since I was 12. But this is the first one that I've shot with a traditional equipment.
Right. And if you're not a hunter, the compound bow is significantly easier.
Yeah.
They have a big let off. So when you draw
sights, everything else, there's no sights. There's no
the modern just bows tons now. Of practice. You don't have to have any practice. I mean, you can give somebody who's never shot a bow ever a modern compound bow, and within 3 hours they're going to be hitting.
Yeah, you could take
bullseyes, not a problem. But you know, traditional bow, like a longbow, that's what you see knights using.
Yeah,
actual Native Americans using. I mean, it's tough.
It was good times, man. It was one of those things that brought back. It's always been fun, but I mean, it really renewed the fun of just being involved. I mean, I don't know. It was a completely different experience, but that's pretty much what I've done this whole time. That and work around the house and just mess around with stuff.
Are you going to be stepping up your hunting game now that you've killed with a traditional bow? Are you going to be moving on to an atlatl?
No, I'm going to, it's the first thing my son asked. I'm actually going, that's the first thing Brandon asked me. He's like, so you going atlatl now, Dad? I'm like, no, I'm not.
Dart?
Right. You're going to wrestle one?
Yeah.
No, but I am probably going to dedicate a lot more time as far as like when we go out of state, mule deer and elk hunting, I'm going to take a stick bow. So that's probably what I'll end up doing now.
Well, that's cool.
Try to make it, it's tough already. I mean, any sort of hunting is tough, but this is just something that I just enjoy doing. It's just packing all that stuff around. But other than that, man, we had a great time and we've got a bunch of stories for y'all. We appreciate all the emails and all the messages and everything. We're alive. We were just pulled unplugged. We didn't even look at, I didn't look at emails and messages at nothing, man. I just backed away from it and said, all right, starting in January, we're going to pick up. We've been slacking. We're not slacking any longer. We got to get back in the groove. And it's my fault on YouTube. Now we're back on YouTube. I've got a bunch of them done. I just got to start getting them uploaded. So I've got a bunch of them edited together. So I'm going to start loading them to YouTube now. And then we got a bunch of stories coming. We got a bunch of interviews coming up this year. We got a bunch of wild stuff.
It's
going to
be a good year.
I'm
excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
We got a bunch of wild stuff. So I'm going to kick off this year stuff. This comes from I really can't say a supporter of the show.
Here we go.
But I did some serious research on this whole thing, and I found a website called Cryptozoology News. And on Cryptozoology News, from St. Jacob, Illinois, it's a man in Madison County says this, that he saw a 7-foot-tall stick insect.
What?
Could you imagine a praying mantis that would be 7-foot-tall?
No. Those things are scary already. I mean, have you seen them jacking like hummingbirds?
Oh, yeah, when they kill a hummingbird?
And so imagine if it's 6 foot tall, what it could be.
7, sir. Don't short it
7.
A foot.
I'm sorry. 7.
Now, of course, this man remained anonymous, but he said that he was driving home on the highway when he had said that this creature showed up. And this has been 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday morning at 3 a.m. Now, he was telling this to MUFON. He said, an object appeared in my headlights on the right side crossing the highway. And it looked like a giant walking stick with 4 legs. Now, of course, I said, you know, the praying mantis. It's not a praying mantis. Right. It is just the walking stick insect.
But still.
Now get a load of it. He said its head turned as it ran and it looked at me just before going out of lighted view. And he actually did a little sketch of the whole thing. But he said it was about 7 foot tall. And he said that, you know, the length, the whole thing, he said was probably about the same. So what he's talking about is it's walking on its legs 7 foot off the ground and 7 foot long.
Yeah.
So it's a ginormous insect. Now, get a load of this, though. He said that it was redwood. And so he said it moved in approximately, now this is what he said. So it's redwood colored, this stick insect. So it doesn't look like anything off. But he said it moved in probably a second or less, right in front of his headlights. So right across in front of him. Now, he said that it looked like it had 4 legs. Now, it could have had more, but he said it looks like it had 4 legs. And the way it was, of course, it made it look elevated the way it was moving. But he said when it turned to him, it didn't even have a face. His head had no face. Mm. So it's not like he saw a giant stick bug. He is just saying it was stick figure like, moved like that. And it was huge. 7 foot at the shoulder, 7 foot long.
Man, it reminds me of, Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
They go to that alien world and it was like they're fighting these giant
Klandathu,
insects.
Klandathu. That was the name of that planet.
God, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Check this out. This is a pretty interesting sighting from somebody that happened, or from somebody, to somebody who was living in the upper U.S., the Midwest area. And it was posted over here on Phantoms and Monsters by our good buddy Lon Strickler. And it's pretty interesting. It says, it all started out a few months ago when we moved into our new home. I grew up in a rural community. but there were plenty of neighbors and mostly fields around, no woods. Given that, I am the youngest child. My parents waited until I was done with high school to move as to not affect my already established life. Now, although we had always lived in a small rural community, my parents were ready for something a little more secluded, something with a lot of acreage, some woods, and a place to shoot our guns. They put my childhood home up on the market and soon found their dream home, which is where I am currently, and desperately writing this story. The house and the property are beautiful. It's a large turn-of-the-century house facing 15 acres of land, the majority of which are solid woods, and a nice half-acre pond is located on the property. The best part, or so I thought, is that there are no neighbors within a mile of the house. At first, I really enjoyed it. Being out in the woods was very much a cathartic experience for me. It helped shed the stresses of school and the constant studying. Being among the tall trees and the surrounding nature made all of my problems seem totally insignificant. So I made a habit of going out there on regular walks through the woods. As the weeks went on, I started noticing strange things as I went on my walks. Sometimes I would find partially eaten deer scattered along the leaf-littered ground, accompanied by a putrid, rotting smell, which I attributed to the carcass in front of me. At first, I thought nothing of it. It was probably coyotes, I told myself. Other than that, I thought nothing of it. But I started carrying a gun with me on my walks, just in case I encountered the animal or animals that were responsible for the carnage I saw from time to time. As the days went on, I started noticing more and more mutilated deer scattered across the floor of the woods, still accompanied by the rotting smell, which I again attributed to the animals, the dead ones. If the increasing number of mutilations weren't enough, I started to notice a change in the sounds coming out of the nearby woods. What was once a cacophony of sounds was now mostly dead silence, minus the low, guttural growl that seemed to be becoming more prevalent and more pronounced and the more insidious each day. By this point, I had stopped going on my little walks. Gun or no gun, I didn't want to risk the chances of facing whatever it was that was causing these events. That being said, my curiosity eventually got the best of me. One night, as I heard these growls again, I decided that I was going to get a trail cam, set it up out in the woods the following day in hopes of finally seeing what was out there. The next evening after work, I gathered up what little courage I had left and the camera in hand, went walking out into the very woods I had promised myself I would stay out of. I never did get to set up the trail cam. I lost it somewhere in the woods while I was in a panic, running for my life. I made it about 100 yards past the tree line into the woods, where I decided to stop and set up this camera. I thought it was a good place to set it up, and quite frankly, I was too scared to go any further. After all, I wanted to spend as little time out there as possible given the ongoing events, and the fact that it would be dark soon didn't help. Already on edge, every creak of the woods and every crunch in the leaves sent me into a panic. Rushing to set the camera up, I dropped it, sending it to the leaf-ridden ground with a thud. Murmuring under my breath, cursing myself for being out there, I bent down to pick up the camera, and when I started to smell that putrid smell of rotting flesh again, I carefully looked around, checking my surroundings to see if anything was out there, and I could feel something watching me, but I couldn't see anything. Just as I was finishing picking up my supplies off the ground, I heard that low, guttural growl again, as well as the snap of a branch to my right. I quickly turned, seeing a human-like creature standing there, staring at me. I was completely frozen with fear. It had human features, standing on two legs, and it had feet and hands. The two things that threw me off, however, was the fact that its skin was charred black, as if it had been burnt in a fire. And, most disturbingly, it had no upper or lower lips. Although mostly bald, a few thin, straggling hairs stuck out every which way out of its scalp. Its sharp teeth were hanging out like hypodermic needles. With the absence of lips, its raw red gums hung out in the open. Thick strings of what appeared to be saliva dripped off its chin in a persistent stream. For one single brief moment, the world around me seemed to stop. I quickly went through options of what to do next. There were really only two very viable options. Either stay exactly how I was and get attacked, the most likely killed by this thing, or I could get the heck out of there. I chose the latter. I quickly scrambled to my feet and ran as fast as I could, throwing my camera in vain at the creature behind me. In the chaos of what had just occurred, I found myself to be momentarily lost after running to what I thought was the right direction for what felt like 20 minutes. But I'm sure it was probably only 30 seconds. Looking around and not seeing the spawn of hell that I had just encountered, I stopped to collect myself and tried to find the way back to my house. I finally decided on the general direction in which I should head when I heard a commotion that almost sounded like a horse pounding its hooves on the dirt. I looked behind me and saw that this thing, whatever it was running at me on all fours like a spirit flying out of the darkness. And it had spit flying out of the corners of its mouth like a rabid dog. I ran as quickly as I possibly could without daring to look behind me. Although I would not look at it, I could hear it galloping behind me and I could smell its rotted flesh. Tears ran down my eyes as I thought there was no way possible to make it out of the woods alive when I finally saw the lights of my house out of the clearing. Using what little adrenaline I had left to sprint the 200 yards or so to my back porch, I quickly opened the door and slammed it shut, not daring to look out the window. It's been about a month now since that happened. I haven't told anyone, and I will not dare go back out into those woods. I've been doing a lot of research to see if I could find any clues as to what that thing might have been. I've exhausted myself, but I think I may have come to a conclusion. The closest thing I could find was possibly a skinwalker. I know my sighting doesn't entirely match up with the stories I've heard, but it's the closest thing I've found so far. It also may possibly be a Wendigo or Fleshgate. Thanks a lot, Lon. Or thanks a lot to Lon. Yeah. So, man, what a crazy encounter.
That is a freaky, freaky story.
You know, the whole time with the smelling of the rotted flesh, and that, I'm sure most people are saying, like, this sounds like a skunk ape. I'm picturing this to be a Sasquatch sighting. But then the final description really doesn't kind of fit that. But it also, this is one of the strange stories where it's kind of in that in-between, between a dog man, possibly Sasquatch, possibly skinwalker. Because you're talking about skinwalkers, you could shapeshift, I guess, into almost anything or a hybrid of something.
Yes.
So I don't know. Terrifying if that's a true story. I believe it is. But I don't know. I'd hate to have that encounter. But speaking of strange encounters, it's time to take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about everybody's favorite topic, time slips. That's right. It's time for time slips. So stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Well, folks, I've been on vacation recently with my family, over the Christmas and New Year's break. And it was one day while I was sitting on a remote beach in South Texas that I started to think about some of my favorite subjects, as well as what some of our listeners' favorite subjects are. And that's when it dawned on me, just out of the blue, like, that one of my favorite subjects, as well as everyone who listens to the show that we've ever discussed here on Expanded Perspectives, are the strange stories surrounding bizarre time anomalies, or in other words, time slips, as they're often referred to. Now, we get hundreds of emails every week, and I'd have to say that a good portion of them are for us to do more time slip stories. Well, that's where we run into a little bit of difficulty. I would love to. The problem is, there just aren't that many to report on. You can go all over the internet, and lots of times you will find the same ones over and over. People are posting these same time slip accounts just on various websites and blogs and things. And so it's real hard to find a new one. But I agree. I love the stories of time slips. Now, every once in a while, a listener will email us their time slip experience. But, you know, so we have to wait months and months in order to collect enough of these reports in order to do a new show on them. That's why it seems like it might be a year and a half sometimes before we ever do another show on time slips. But I'm impatient. I know that you are too. But today, that's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about a few stories sent in by our listeners and a few new cases that I found on the interweb. Now, first off, if you're not familiar with time slips, you're in for a real treat. Now, of course, time itself, you know, is an interesting thing. It's probably the most important resource to all of us. And when you're young, you typically don't have any money. And then, when you're old, you've got plenty of money, but now you're too old to do anything. That's the problem with time, you know? Like, you want to go and travel the world. You want to have these adventures. But when you're a young person, you really don't have the finances to do it. And for most of us, by the time you retire, now you've got a little bit of financial flexibility, but now you're too old. Your joints are too old. You can't go base jumping when you're 78 years old. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so time is one of those precious resources that always seems to run out. You know, you can buy lots of things in this world, but you cannot buy time. You know, when you're 10 years old, it seems like an entire year takes forever to go by. That's why summers seemed really long when you were a kid. And of course, when you're like 40, a year goes by so fast, it feels like only a few months have expired. That's because I think it's all relative. You know, to a 10-year-old, a year is a tenth of their life. But to a 40-year-old, it's only a 40th. But what about time travel, Kyle? Now, some believe that it's possible. And some believe that it's already been achieved, perhaps even by the Nazis. Now, you're familiar with De Glock. Or the De Glock, or more commonly referred to as the Nazi Bell, which was apparently a time machine built and tested near the Czech border and looks disturbingly similar to the UFO crash near Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. But that's for another show. Perhaps the Nazi scientists figured out how to time travel. Or maybe, just maybe, all of the UFOs people have been seeing over the years are not extraterrestrials, but they're us. Human beings from the future on a time machine coming back to see what the world looks like in 2019. Now, I know if I knew that time travel was possible and available to me right now, I'd love to go back to ancient Egypt and observe from an elevated platform the construction of the Great Pyramids, or perhaps Chichen Itza in Mexico, or various other places, Atlantis, you know, the Library of Alexandria, the list goes on and on. Some scientists actually believe that time travel might be possible, at least theoretically, but our current knowledge of science simply can't achieve it. But what if nature somehow could and does? You see, time slips are paranormal events in which people on their own, or sometimes even as a group, inexplicably travel through time by unknown means and for unknown reasons. That's why they're so interesting. So without further ado, let's begin. This first one is called a baby monitor time warp. And it goes like this. As usual, the long workday was coming to an end, and I was dutifully putting the last load of laundered clothes away in our bedroom when I heard a ruckus on the baby monitor just a few feet away from me. I thought it was strange when I knew my husband and toddler were both in the living room, quietly watching TV. As my 2-year-old drifted silently off to sleep, curled in my husband's lap as he watched the evening news. The bedroom door was straight in front of me, and I could see all the way down the hall to my husband and son in the lazy boy chair as this ruckus over the monitor continued. I didn't know what it was, and it didn't take me long to realize the sounds were very familiar. Now, earlier in the day, I was in my toddler's bedroom putting a load of folded clothes into the drawers, and I picked up some stray toys and books that weren't being played with at the time. As I was doing so, I was telling my son about the story of Jack and the Beanstalk for the very first time. Now I stood in disbelief as I heard the drawers being pulled open and shut and the rustling of toys and books being put into their proper places. But I nearly fainted when I heard my son's voice over the monitor. I kept looking back and forth at my husband and now sleeping son in the chair in the living room and the monitor sitting on my dresser that was literally replaying the specific events from earlier in the day. The monitor is a standard baby monitor bought from Walmart and is not, I repeat, not a recorder, but instead monitors the sounds coming from the room as they are happening in real time only. Now, I listened very closely as my voice retold the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, and I listened with familiarity as my son responded in baby talk to the tale he had never heard before. The most incredible part was this all happened 5 hours earlier on the same day. I quickly called my husband into the room as he listened to the last part of the story with my voice coming through the monitor and our son's coos and chuckles. He just stood there stunned, turned his head and looked at our sleeping son, flopped peacefully over his shoulder. In disbelief, he asked me, "How in the hell?" As his voice drifted off, trying not to miss a thing, I just stared at him in the same disbelief, and we both just shook our heads. This has never happened before or since, and became pretty clear from the beginning that we were listening to some kind of warp in time. I never imagined in a million years that I would be the witness to it, and I must admit, if it should happen to you, it is indeed one of the most incredible moments one can ever experience. Sherry Ann. Wow, that's pretty strange. Check out this next one. It's called Dimension Shift in Tacoma, and it goes like this. I was walking in downtown Tacoma, Washington, one evening around 9 o'clock. I was on my way to meet a friend at a certain intersection. The year was 1976, and I was enlisted in the U.S. Army and was stationed at Fort Lewis. I remember it was the month of April. As I was walking, I started wondering what time it was. So, I looked around for the nearest store where I could find out the time. I looked across the street, and there was a walk-in movie theater. I figured that was as good a place as any. Then the weirdest thing happened. I started to cross the street, and the next thing I knew, my vision was clearing up, and I was standing in front of the ticket counter inside the theater lobby. I had a ferocious headache, and my legs felt very unsteady. I recovered a little, but that headache was something else. I bowed and started rubbing my forehead. After a minute or so, I heard a gasp. I looked up, and there was this pretty girl on the other side of the counter with a surprised look on her face. She asked me, "How did you get in?" With the throbbing pain in my head, I looked at her, and I didn't know how to answer her. I felt confused. I started to walk toward the counter, and she backed away. Now, she had a scared look on her face. She asked me again how I got in. I looked up at the wall behind her, and there was a clock hanging there. I started to mutter, What time is it? She then told me I had better leave, or she was going to call the police. I felt so weird. It's very hard to explain. I felt like I had broken through into a territory I didn't recognize. I stood there for a few minutes. That's when the girl went into the back room. I could hear her talking to someone. I turned around and started to walk towards the entrance. That's when this big guy came out of the back room. He walked around the counter, and before I could say anything, grabbed me by my arm and pulled me towards the entryway. He then unlocked the door and shoved me outside. He told me to get out of there, and then he went back inside. I stood at this point, couldn't figure out what was going on. I just stood there, looking around, rubbing my eyes, and holding my still hurting head. Then it dawned on me. The time on the clock read past midnight. I looked back at the theater. It had the closed sign on the front door. The girl and the guy were still there looking at me. Then the big guy opened the door again and warned me that if I didn't leave that instant, he was going to kick me in the butt. So I started to walk away, still confused, and as I was walking, I heard the guy say, "I don't know how you got inside with the door being locked, but you better not ever come back." The headache eventually went away, and I never did get to meet my friend, Gary Spring. Wow, that was interesting. It's like the guy jumped forward in time. See, that's the interesting thing about time slips is you don't always go back in time. Although I seem to like those stories the best, sometimes people fast forward. Sometimes things keep reoccurring on like what seems like a loop. I love them all. Let's get to this next one. This one says it all began when Rick and I were going to a friend's house last September. We were driving Rick's beat up old truck and the drive went smoothly for the first 45 minutes. Suddenly the truck's engine died and Rick and I were stranded on a deserted highway in the middle of the night. We were surrounded on both sides of the road by cornfields that stretched out into the distance. Rick began a desperate effort to restart the truck and fix the broken engine. He tried to fix the truck in vain, but nothing seemed to work. Rick finally gave up and we decided to walk to the nearest town, which I think was about 2 miles away, in order to find a payphone to call our friend. This was before the invention of cell phones. We walked for what seemed like hours, and the town was nowhere in sight. However, just when desperation was about to grip us, we saw a light. A gloriously bright light shining over the steep hill ahead of us. We ran up the steep hill that blocked us from the light and were flabbergasted by what we saw. Just over the hill, Rick and I saw what could only be described as a futuristic city, with lights streaming out of every window of the massive metallic towers. And in the middle of this futuristic city was a huge silver dome. I just stared at the city, stunned, until Rick elbowed me, which pulled me out of my trance, and he pointed to the sky. Hovering above the city were hundreds of what looked like hovercraft. One flew towards us with at amazing speed, and Rick and I were so scared that we took off running back to the broken-down truck. I never looked back, but I felt someone watching me the entire way. When we finally got back to the truck, it started without any difficulty, and Rick and I just took off as fast as we could in the opposite direction. We never went back or spoke of it again to this day, but I still have to wonder what me and my boyfriend Rick saw that evening. I mean, this giant futuristic-looking city in the middle of nowhere. Hope you enjoyed the story, Daisy. Wow. Another interesting time slip. I don't know if it was a time slip or like some type of hallucination, you know, and when it comes to time slips, this is often a case with alien abduction where people are driving home for whatever reason, their car stops working. It stalls out on the side of the road and then they don't really remember anything. And then hours later, they wake up, their car starts just fine. And they notice that 4 or 5 hours have gone by. Or sometimes they were driving down a road and they end up 30 miles down from where they last remember, and it's several hours later, you know, so sometimes they even end up in different spots. So, you know, some of the time slip stories, just like the one I just read, you know, that could have been possibly an alien abduction. Maybe what they saw wasn't a futuristic city, but was like a giant UFO, you know what I mean? Like, if you've ever seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, some of those UFOs, you know, they kind of look like a disc UFO with a city growing out of the top of it. You know, maybe that's what they saw. I don't know. Check out this next one. This says, my husband and I live in the deep woods of East Texas near a tiny place called Mount Sylvan. I have been having some medical tests done at a hospital nearby when this event occurred. I went for testing 3 days in a row, always with the same routine. I parked in the same small parking lot, walked through the double doors leading to the first floor cardio testing area, turned right at the gift shop, and signed in at the desk. I always exchanged some casual conversation with the same young and very pleasant blonde receptionist. There was a small sitting area across from her desk, with a door leading to the blood drawing lab right behind her cubicle. The door to the lab was always open, and the sight of patients sitting in the exact type of chairs, even the same color, that I saw my late mother sit in for her chemotherapy treatments was just too gut-wrenching. I even heard a patient in the lab comment on the new chairs, and a nurse replied that the hospital's oncology department had donated them. I decided to sit across the hall anyway. Now, last Friday, my husband went back to the hospital with me to hear the test results. He had never been there before. The usual routine. We parked, We walked in, we turned past the gift shop, and there was no check-in area. I stood and stared in total shock. No desk, no chairs, no blonde receptionist. And the door to the lab was on a totally different wall. The other sitting area was just as it was before. I started to walk up and down the hall searching for my check-in area, but it was nowhere to be seen. A doctor walked by, and he noticed my confusion and asked me, what was I looking for? When I told him that the place I had checked in for my test was missing, he laughed and said that it had been moved to the second floor 3 years earlier because they needed more space. So, what did I see? Did I experience some kind of time warp? Where I actually saw the lobby the way it was 3 years prior? I don't know. Keep up the good work. Mel. Man, I love these stories, you know. It's crazy, right? So she was in a lobby doing the same routine over and over, and it always appeared. And when she couldn't find it, they told her that's the way it used to be 3 years ago. So how was she going in and doing these blood tests week after week, you know, and always experiencing it in a different way, a time that it was 3 years ago to this most recent trip with her husband? Man, it's so bizarre. And that's what makes them so interesting. Check this one out. It says, my mother, Eula White, was born in October 1912. She grew up in rural Alabama and Florida in the 1920s. She told a lot of stories of the people and the events of those days. Most of them are interesting, but they were pretty much ordinary events. But one day, she told me a story of an unusual event that she had directly experienced as a young girl, along with about a dozen other women and children. I remember this event well, even after all these years, she told me. And she said it was precisely because it was so unusual. She told me that in those days, rural Alabama was still kind of backward. Little electricity and horses and wagons were the only transportation for many of the farm folk. I remember it was a bright summer day. Early that morning, the other women and I had gathered on the front porch of the Hawkins farmhouse to quietly prepare a few bushels of peas and beans for preserving, and we loved to talk as we worked. The younger children were playing in the yard. That's when Mr. Hawkins came out on the porch and told Miss Hawkins that he was going to town on business. Mr. Hawkins saddled his horse, and as he rode through the big gate directly on the front porch, Miss Hawkins reminded him to bring home a big sack of flour. He answered to her with a grunt and rode off. Well, fast forward a little bit, and about mid-afternoon, we were still on the porch shelling peas. We looked up and saw Mr. Hawkins approaching the house. The road leading to the house came off the main road and was about 300 feet long, and it ran directly up to the porch, so we could see him coming quite clearly. Thrown across the saddle in front of him was a large white cloth sack of flour, and cradled in his left arm was a brown bag of other groceries. We watched as he rode up to the gate, and as he stopped there, waiting for someone to open it, one of the boys ran to the gate and opened it for him. Then, in full view of all of us women and children, Mr. Hawkins vanished. He just disappeared. I mean, instantly. We sat there for a second or so, just astonished, looking back and forth at each other, looking back at the gate, you know, thinking to ourselves, man, did you see that? Then, terrified, we began screaming. And after a few moments, we calmed down, but we were still shaking and confused. We just didn't know what to do. So, after a while, we went back to shelling peas. But all of us, the children too, huddled up there on that porch, afraid. Miss Hawkins eventually made one of the boys go close the gate. About a half hour later, we looked up again and saw Mr. Hawkins riding toward the house with that same white sack of flour across the saddle in front of him and that same brown bag of groceries in his left hand. Again, he rode up to the gate without a sound and then just stopped. None of us had the nerve to open the gate. We were all just too afraid to move. We just sat there staring at him, waiting to see what would happen next. Would he disappear again? We didn't know. Finally, after a few minutes, to our relief, Mr. Hawkins spoke. Well, is someone going to open this damn gate for me? Mr. Hawkins' mother said, got there before he arrived. That's the only way she'd explain it to me. She said that her and the other women and the children saw Mr. Hawkins somehow get to the gate before he actually arrived. And that's all she said about it. She's dead now, and I often think back to that story. I mean, I asked her about it a few times, but she never really had a better explanation than that. Like she saw a glimpse of something that was going to happen, but hadn't really happened yet. Thanks for the show, Stephanie. Wow. You know, that's a common thread in these time slips, is someone doesn't actually experience a time slip themselves, but they see almost someone else experiencing it. And to me, that's what this story, you know, reminds me of. These women and these children, they saw Mr. Hawkins having a time slip almost. Like, they saw an image of what was going to happen. I wonder, you know, if you could talk to him, if he experienced anything strange. You know, back then people were much quieter than they are now. Now, if something happened, he'd be posting it all over social media. But, you know, I wonder if he experienced it or if it was only for them. I don't know. But that's one of the cool things about time slips, is it's not always experienced just by one person. It's often groups of people, you know, like a group of people going on a trip somewhere, or a husband and wife and their children going on an adventure or a camping trip, or, you know, or, you know, something like that, a road trip. And that's when they experience it. So that's what I like about it, is there's often people to corroborate the story. Let's check this one out. It says, I swear this is a true story. My husband was carting wheat in the summer of 1994. He was outside Molong in New South Wales, Australia, and drove past a for sale sign on a farm gate along with the agent's details. Our 12-year-old son was with him, and on the return journey, they stopped. They climbed through the fence and walked up the circle-shaped drive to have a closer look at the old farmhouse. He said he could see through the window and found the old house old, decrepit, and abandoned. Well, on his return home a few days later, we rang up the agent and asked for further details about the property, as we were thinking about possibly purchasing it. The agent was confused and had no idea what we were talking about, and insisted that he had no properties for sale on that road. A week later, my husband and I drove to Molong to have a look at the farm ourselves. We drove up and down the whole road until we were almost to the next town. All that he could recognize was a water tank on the hill, a creek, and some trees where the house used to be. There was no gate, there was no driveway, there was no real estate sign or a house. Well, as we were driving up and down the road over and over and over, one of the residents of a house along that route spotted us go back and forth several times. And being a concerned citizen, he came out and approached us at the road. He said, are you guys looking for something? Maybe I can help you with some directions. And my husband reluctantly told him what happened. And he said, did you say that old farmhouse that was right in this area? My husband was like, yeah, that's exactly right. He said, man, I grew up here and that house hasn't been here for 30 years. Thanks for the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Susan. Wow. Again, this time, different from the last story, this person saw a glimpse. This reminds me of the hospital story, of a house that used to be there. But I mean, it's crazy that it even had the real estate agent's number. It doesn't go into any more details that maybe the agent, you know, has been selling real estate for 50 years. I mean, it would have to be, right? And then the number would have to remain the same. But interesting story nonetheless. We got another one real quick before we get out of here and take the next break. Check this out. It's called Instant Replay. It's from Ryan Bratton, and it says, this happened when I was about 8 years old. My friend and I were sitting on his yard while some kids rode their bikes down a downhill driveway. A car came down the road and stopped at a house. A kid got out and ran inside, making noises that kids around his age usually make. Then a girl rode her bike down the steep driveway. A couple of minutes after this happened, the same car went down the road, stopped at the house, and the same kid got out of the car and ran inside screaming the exact things he had been saying earlier. Then the girl went down the hill on her bike again. I looked over at my friend, and he said he had no idea what just happened. But I wasn't satisfied with that. I was like, did you just see that happen twice in a row, exactly the same? And he agreed. Yeah, I saw it. It was like instant replay. I have no idea if we experienced a time slip or not, but I just found it very interesting. Well, Ryan, I have to agree with you. It is interesting. Much like I alluded to earlier in the show, is like sometimes these time slips, it seems like it's a loop, replaying and replaying and replaying. I've heard of others, people, something very mundane, like they had just seen a school bus drive by, and then a few seconds later, they've seen the exact same school bus drive by, or something like a particular bird land on a branch, make a particular noise, something unusual, fly off, and then a few minutes later, the exact same thing, the exact looking bird, exact movements, exact sound, everything. I don't know what that is. I wonder if time slips, or sometimes when you misplace some keys or something like that, and then a few minutes later, it's there, if that is all part of the same phenomenon. I don't know. I love time slips. It's time for a break. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. More stories of time slips. I love time slip stories. They're all a little different. There's the classic ones where people go back in time. There's the few where people go forward in time. Mm-hmm. And then there's the few where people seem that looks like we're in a movie and it's like a loop, like something's replaying, instant replay over and over, where they just saw it. They look back and they see it again. And all of these are somehow changes in time. Like, you know, I don't know if it's parallel universe bleeding over or there is a glitch in the Matrix, you know, I don't know, but that's what makes these stories so cool. Now, if I had to pick my favorite of like time slip stories, my favorite are the ones where people like go back in time and it's like an old village, like it used to be, mm-hmm. like the 1700s, and there's an old butcher shop, and there's a guy, a blacksmith over here making horseshoes, and there's a, you know, a bar over here. I like those stories. I don't know yes. why. I guess because I'm a romantic or you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but I like those stories the best. But then there's those interesting ones where, you know, like the one where the guy, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Where the guy goes and like looking at a house on along the side of a road. He wants to purchase it. It looks old and decrepit. He calls the real estate agent and they're like, what are you talking about? There's no house there. And then it turns out that there was a house there like 30 years prior to that. So how did the guy see it?
Yeah. And not just see it, but it's not like a spectral remain of it. It was, he sees it well.
Right. Exactly.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the woman that's going to get her giving blood. At the hospital. And she's been going there for weeks. She goes there every week, gets the blood drawn. They're doing tests. Mm-hmm. And finally, she takes her husband with her one time because he wants to see the results. And the lobby's totally changed. And the doctor sees her confused and's like, ma'am, can I help you? What are you looking for? And she's like, well, I sign in here every day. And he's like, oh, silly. They moved that to the second floor 3 years ago. You know, so how?
Like, no, I was here yesterday.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want to know the small ones, like we've talked about. I always think about the small little time slips or little, you know, glitches in the Matrix that yeah. we don't notice, that go on all around us or that you brush off. It's just...
Yeah, I talked about, you know, when people miss their keys or something yeah. simple like that. Are those time slips? Everybody's had those. We've talked about it before on the show. Your son knew he threw that screwdriver away.
Yep.
There it was in his pocket. I've told the story before when we were a toy of some kind was missing for months, and then all of a sudden we heard a noise and it fell off a bookcase.
Yeah, we were kids. My wife had it happen with some files at her work.
I think it happens to everybody. And those are little things. So maybe these time slips are more common than you think.
Well, and maybe it's one of those things, too, like you brush it off. Like you're in a hurry at your desk or hurry at your office or hurry at your house. You can't find it, and you find it over here. Like, man, I must have set it over there. When if you were to stop and think, you didn't set it over there.
Right.
You know,
maybe you
like,
weren't mistaken.
I wasn't wrong. Like, I don't. Yeah, it's one of those things.
You know, like, you like say you have a drawer and this item is supposed to be in that drawer. You find yourself looking for it. You'll go back and check that same drawer 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, because in your mind's eye, you know you saw it in there.
But have you ever had a chance where you've done that and like on the 9th time it was there?
Oh, yeah. I've
and
had
like,
that
man,
happen.
Am I going crazy?
Yeah.
Maybe you're not.
Where I thought maybe I just looked past it. Maybe I blinded myself to it looking for something else. But this is also coming from the guy that looked around his house for 15 minutes for his truck keys while they were in his left hand.
Yeah. I've done
stuff
like that.
I had the key ring on my pinky finger on my left hand because I had some other stuff in it, and I looked for my keys for 15 minutes.
I've told the story.
Before they were hanging off there. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, maybe that's not quite as bad.
I told the story when I used to mow my yard. I would listen to a podcast or something with my iPhone with earbuds. Mm-hmm. I remember I finished mowing, and then I started walking around looking for my phone. The whole time, I'm listening to music on my phone.
I must have thought.
And I start going into a panic. I go, crap, did I leave it at work? You know, you start looking, and then it dawns on you, you're like, I'm listening to it. Oh, man. Over the break, me and the family went and saw the new Aquaman.
And?
It was pretty good. I mean, you know, it's no Dynamite, you know, movie like Legends of the Fall or The Green Mile or something. It's nothing like that. But if you like a visual.
So what you're saying is it's no Gaudy, but it's pretty good.
Dude, that's a terrible movie.
What are you talking about?
I watched it on Amazon Prime Video the other day.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing else on. It was like,
instant regret.
It wasn't bad, but I like looking at train wrecks. Like, that's one of the things. If it's bad, I enjoy it. Like Bubba Hotep or any of those ones that are terrible.
I don't know what you're talking about. Bubba Hotep should have won an Oscar.
Yeah, but Aquaman was good. So if you have the kids or you just want to be entertained for, you know, a couple hours, visually, it's an awesome movie. Almost cursed right there. But there's a lot of cool movies coming out in 2019. I know you're more of a movie buff than me. I just don't get a chance to go because when I take my whole army, it's like $100 every time. But there's some pretty cool movies coming up, including Glass by M. Night Shyamalan.
I'll be all over that one.
That one looks good, right?
I'll be all over that one.
There's the remake of The Pet Sematary.
No.
That looks like that might be good.
No. The remake or the new Hellboy coming out? Trash.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Won't be watching that.
There's a lot of new Marvel movies, though, like Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Are you going to be watching those?
Probably, because my daughter's big onto those, so I'm sure I'll have to go see those.
They're going to be coming out with a John Wick 3 now.
I'm down.
I mean, I know I'll see it, but it seems like they're trying to do what they did to Lost, right? Like they find something that's a winning combination, and then they just wear it out. Like, what was wrong with John Wick 1? Just leave it at that.
Just leave it alone?
John Wick 2 was okay. It wasn't as good as 1, and I know you're supposed to suspend disbelief, but whenever I see, like, a girl that weighs, like, 125 pounds just, like, fighting all these, I don't know.
These dudes?
Yeah, just, like, you know, that's
not
realistic.
So what you're talking about is, like, Ruby Rose. When Ruby Rose is in there fist fighting.
Yeah, like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
It is a little, look.
But at the same time, I can watch Aquaman. If a guy's breathing underwater and
she was fighting another girl, I could be like, well, that's the thing is I've always said, when you have me, I have to dispel belief for a movie, it has to either be completely outrageous or it has to be spot on. The in-between is what aggravates me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you want me to believe they can do all this crazy stuff, and then this happens. I'm like...
Well, does it also make you mad when a movie is, like, based on a real story, and they follow it all the way, and then they'll just change some detail for no reason? Like, what was the movie Foxcatcher?
Oh, yeah.
And they changed, like, when they showed the guy fighting the UFC, the opponent he was fighting was a black gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen. Why did they change... They got it right all the movie!
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just... Why change that last detail?
Yeah. Why do you have to change some things around and all that? And they change the dates when you're like, the USC wasn't even at that time.
Right. I guess Bohemian Rhapsody, I did not get to see that, but
I didn't get to see it either.
Of its success, they're making one on Elton John now called Rocket Man.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be good. Of course, there's a new Godzilla coming out. Luke will be all over that. There's a new Terminator movie coming out.
I'll probably watch that.
There's a new Zombieland.
Oh, I heard about that one. Yeah.
It. Chapter 2.
Yep.
Which, once again, the book is one book. There's no part 2 in the book, so why do they need to come up with a part 2 for the movie?
I still stand beside the fact that it should have been a series either on HBO or Netflix.
Yes, I'm with you.
It should have been a 10 episode, 1 hour, you know, episodes for 10 episode season.
I'm with you. And for the kids, there's going to be Frozen 2, Dumbo.
That looks pretty good.
The new Lion King.
That looks pretty good.
And another Star Wars is coming out.
Yay.
Now, Dumbo, I'll probably see it. Dumbo's always wanted to be one of the cartoons. When I was a kid, man, that really affected me. I was really sad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was one of the only cartoons that really, like, for years, I would never watch it again. Like, I don't think I've seen it again since I was probably 9.
There was one other movie, and there was one part in this movie that was a Disney movie that I watched as a kid that was one of my all-time favorites, but there was one part in it that still today affects me.
Lady and the Tramp?
No. Robin Hood.
Oh.
And the cartoon Robin Hood, there's a part where the little rabbit, for his birthday, the mom and all them save all that money and give him that coin.
Yeah, and the Robin sheriff, Hood's like a fox, right?
Yep. And the sheriff takes that coin for taxes for that little boy for his birthday. Dude, and it hit me as a child hard because I'm like, of course, you know, this is coming from a broken family anyway. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm like, this little boy went through all of this and the mom and the family did all they could to give him just a little money where he could go do something. And then the sheriff takes it.
Isn't it funny how something so simple stays with you your whole life?
My whole life. It makes me mad. It made me sad until I got old enough to know I could defend myself. Yeah. And then I'm like, now I'm mad about it.
That was me, man. When I saw Dumbo as a kid, it really affected me. So, like, even the new one, before I saw the previews, I was like, I don't know if I want to go see that.
Right? Like, I don't know if I...
Kind of depressing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
But...
It is. Well, to stay on the track of us giving women their equal share as to men... You know, we like to harp on guys like you were talking about, you know, I can't believe Ruby Rose beats up a girl or beats up dudes, you know, but okay, I get that. We always like to key on and look into Florida man. We never check out his wife, Florida woman.
No, no.
Well, I'm going to. Just please, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, please.
Florida woman tried to kill her parents, attacked them, it says here. Threatens to kill them. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. All right. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Deanne Seltzer was arrested last week after she allegedly attacked her parents and chased her father with a 12-inch knife for refusing to take her to Outback Steakhouse.
She needed a blooming onion, man.
That's what it says here. Yeah. This is coming from Fox News. The report says that according to reports, the 28-year-old Palm Beach resident asked her parents to take her to dinner at the popular restaurant chain on Wednesday. When they refused, Seltzer flew into a rage and flipped over the glass dining room table before punching her mother with closed fists on her chest and arms. Seltzer's father intervened and sustained scratches to his face and upper body. Seltzer then allegedly picked up a foot-long decorative knife and began to chase her father around the house, threatening, "I'm going to kill you." Now, her father was eventually able to wrestle the knife away without sustaining further injury. Palm Beach County Police arrived at the home and charged Seltzer with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, domestic battery, and battery of a person 65 or older. Now, she posted bond, and a judge ordered her to undergo, and this is going to come to a shock to you, Kyle, a mental health evaluation within days of her release.
I don't understand why the judge would rule that. I mean, she wanted a bloomin' onion. She wanted some shrimp cocktail and a steak. I mean, I totally get the outrage. How old is the woman? Does it say? Why didn't she take herself to the restaurant? Like, why did she?
She was 28.
Yeah, see, something's not being told in this story. At 28 years old, if you want to go to the Outback Steakhouse, you should go.
You should just take yourself.
But maybe she doesn't have a vehicle. Maybe she hasn't made the best life choices. Well, that's why she's still living with her parents at 65
or older, and they're 28.
Mm.
She's 28.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking maybe she lives with her folks. Now, it does say this, that they do not say, said it was unknown at the time if she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. But either way, look, I like some Outback. I haven't eaten there in years, but I can't imagine trying to accost my family. Because they will not.
Oh, I can believe accosting my family.
Not over Outback, though. No. I would accost my family, but not over Outback.
Exactly.
But yeah, Outback has nothing to do with me wanting to accost my family. Being in the house with them on this vacation for all this time, that has something to do with it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a real big fan of Outback.
She was going to say a family.
I'm not a big fan of my family either. Apparently, they're not a big fan of me because I didn't get very much for Christmas. I got very little. I was a bad boy, I guess. But I was going to say, the Outback isn't one of my favorites. I mean, it might be really good in other places, but this is Texas. I mean, there's steakhouses everywhere, and it's kind of hard to compete. And compared to some of the other joints around here, Outback's not that great.
No, it's the bottom of the barrel, really.
Yeah.
For steak joints.
I mean, if you want to eat kangaroo tail and drink Foster's and stuff like that.
And talk to Chris and Waz. They'll walk you through all that.
You can go to the Thylacine Research Unit. Yeah, check them out.
We'll hit up Logan and Lisa. We'll have them throw a shrimp on the barbie for us.
That's right. Yeah. The Huffmans. They're down there in Australia now.
They were sending us pictures and videos.
They were looking for Yowie. I need to find out how the Yowie went.
I need to find out how it went.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Don't forget, if you have any stories of your own you'd like to share with me and Cam, you can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the number 817-945-3828 if you feel like telling the story. And don't forget about our sponsor, Robinhood. Right now, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. You have to go to expanded.robinhood.com. That's expanded.robinhood.com. And thanks to our sponsor that makes shows like this possible. I hope everybody out there has a good week. On the Elite Show coming up this week, I'm going to be telling more time slip stories. So if you're a fan of time slips, you need to go over there to Elite and check it out. You have to go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, click on the Elite tab. Signing up's easy. $5 a month, and you'll get additional shows like this one. In fact, the whole catalog's there, the whole back catalog. So like 200 so episodes, 200 hours of Expanded Perspective shows you've not listened to are over there in Elite. So get over there and sign up. We've got a lot of things planned for 2019, both in Elite and on the regular show. So I'm excited. Cam, what do you got planned for your week?
Just hard work and clean living, my friend.
Trying to get back into the routine, right?
Yeah.
Feels like everything's been out of whack. The kids finally started school again. Work starting to come in for me on my personal side, business. And so let's just get back in the groove. For everybody out there, we'll see you, or not see you, won't see you. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.